This is Jess Goldson, and you are listening to CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada. This series is centered on the opioid crisis in Toronto, including harmful substance use. In the previous episode, we learned about harm reduction at Breakaway Community Services and the Toronto Drug Checking Program. This episode focuses on the need for additional supports for harm reduction workers themselves, as well as additional barriers to harm reduction.
My name is Juno Zavitz. I am the program coordinator of Breakaway's Grief, Loss, and Wellness Initiative in Toronto, Ontario.
Zavitz outlines the need for harm reduction workers to receive supports in their work, which involves high levels of stress because of the crisis context.
The program that I have been working on developing, which launched to be community-facing in spring 2021, aims to meet the needs of frontline workers who provide harm reduction support within the context of the overdose, which when we think about supporting that population, it is workers who have been providing care support. But because we work in harm reduction, where the valuing of lived experience is of high importance to acknowledge that people who use drugs are the experts on supporting people who use drugs. It means that a lot of people working within harm reduction are people who are actively using drugs themselves. So the program that I work on then is for frontline workers who often are also drug users and peer themselves. One of the conversations I had with a frontline worker recently who is abstinent now from fentanyl was talking about the importance of creating recovery-focused spaces for people working in harm reduction, because there are a lot of people, obviously, who are actively using drugs, but a lot of people who are trying to avoid something particularly like fentanyl, whether they identify as sober or abstinent from all drugs. So it's a conversation I'm starting to hear more and more about, recognizing that obviously, recovery means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And I don't believe that my definition of recovery or sobriety or abstinence is more desirable or even necessarily healthier. It's what continues to work for me. But I know there are people out there who are navigating both worlds of active drug use. As we're entering the second year of this program, we are going to be looking at private donors as a way to sustain the funding, because we have a number of activities that will not be funded after March of 2023. People who are working front lines right now are doing the most vital work. They are supporting people who have been hardest hit by colonization and racism and housing insecurity and poverty and all of the points of oppression that intersect to put someone at high risk for very risky substance use. The most meaningful thing we can be doing is supporting frontline workers in harm reduction. It's really lovely to want to provide donations to CAMH and such, but I think the place of burnout is highest in frontline harm reduction right now. The translation between the funding we're getting from the province and the city and the federal government is so, so visible in its outcome. It pays directly for someone's therapy. It pays directly for workers to come receive a massage or receive herbal supports or acupuncture. So I guess that's kind of my call out to anyone who's wondering how they can help.
Now we'll hear from Haley Thompson. Last episode, we heard that drug checking revealed high levels of contamination in the unregulated drug supply. The program informs those drug-using people who submit samples what is in their drugs, as well as alerts clinicians who treat drug-using patients to potentially harmful substances that contaminate the drug supply. Contamination refers to the addition of a drug to the original substance that the drug-using person does not expect to be present.
My name is Haley Thompson. I'm the project manager of Toronto's Drug Checking Service.
Thompson calls on regulation and decriminalization of the unregulated drug supply in order to combat the opioid poisoning crisis.
We would really like to see a regulated supply become more readily available and accessible to people who use drugs. There are a few safer supply programs popping up across the country, but they tend to have rather stringent eligibility criteria. And we know that there are a lot of people who would love to be on safer supply programs who are not meeting that criteria, which is quite heartbreaking. People being able to access drugs that there is some type of regulatory framework around so that they know what they're taking and then they can dose themselves appropriately. We're supportive of the decriminalization of drugs for personal use. It's a start and it separates drug use from criminality, but it's definitely not sufficient because it does nothing to address the toxic drug crisis or the toxic drug supply, which is what we know is harming people.
Savage shares the experience that their practice of abstinence creates a taboo in the harm reduction community.
I don't know how widely or publicly I've talked about it, but I identify as a sober person in recovery. Abstinence can require a fair bit of privilege. It's hard to get sober or avoid your drug of choice when you do not have a house, when you do not have steady income, when you are facing direct trauma from racism and colonization, etc. So it's harmful to suggest abstinence, but it also can be really risky for people who come off of their substance of choice. If you come off fentanyl to go to an abstinence-based treatment center and then you go back to your community where you've been using drugs, your risk of overdose is actually much higher because you don't have the same tolerance anymore. Indigenous harm reduction specifically looks at in kind of residential treatment supports, not suggesting abstinence because the risk of overdose afterwards is so high for people who decide that they want to continue using drugs. I feel a taboo in speaking about my sobriety because sometimes if I'm a sober person in a room, I'm seen as someone who doesn't necessarily get it or like understand what it is like to be using drugs in this current climate. Which is true that I don't. I stopped using drugs in 2016, which was when fentanyl had already started showing up in Toronto, but it was showing up in the drugs that I would have been using. There are psychoactive drugs that I use for sleep and anxiety management. So I know I'm not the only one who kind of walks between these worlds of being a sober person in recovery and also being in harm reduction and using some substances in the way that I need to.
Grassroots organization Toronto Indigenous Harm Reduction, TIHR, provides basic necessities and access to critical health support for Indigenous houseless folks in Toronto. They host a non-abstinence-based online biweekly harm reduction meeting for Indigenous community members who want to support and to share about their experiences with substances. TIHR was unable to accommodate my request for an interview, but encourages listeners to view their Instagram at Toronto Indigenous Harm Reduction to learn about harm reduction related to Indigenous communities and how to become a monthly donor. Thompson highlights the limited access to drug checking services in Ontario.
We would really like to see more people having access to drug checking services. Toronto's is the only one in Ontario, which is quite shocking considering half of the population of Canada lives in Ontario and only a very, very small amount of people who live or are able to access the service in the downtown core are able to have this kind of information. 20 healthcare organizations or jurisdictions have reached out to us in Ontario in the hopes that they could either participate in the drug checking service or access it. We'd love to make drug checking more accessible beyond downtown Toronto. And I think the way to do that would be to partner with the provincial government and the Ministry of Health. We hope to be able to work with them in the future.
This is Jess Goldson, and you've been listening to CJRU 1280 AM in Toronto. In this second of three episodes, we learned about the need for harm reduction worker support and regulation to mitigate drug contamination. Episode 3 will cover treatments that support abstinence from opioids and the impact of service disruptions caused by COVID-19 on those being treated. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.